Well, we're still studying about the apostles, and I think we'd left off with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, last week, and do believe that John wrote the Gospels and the Epistles, and some believe that he wrote Revelations, and I got to thinking about that later in the week, and then you get to thinking, well, just because Revelations is the last book in the Bible, does that mean that it was written last? I don't know that there's enough evidence in there to say 100% one way or the other, but I'm of the belief that it was possibly written maybe before the Gospels was. But the thing that I got to thinking about was we see the young men as James and John, and we see them being maybe immature in their zealousness. We see them maybe... remember, they were the mother even asked that they would be placed maybe one on the left, one on the right of Jesus, you know. And we see them being, in my mind, I'm thinking they were young men at that time. But we see that these young men matured later on. James was martyred, and I think it was 12 and 2 in Acts. John, if he had for sure wrote these Gospels and these epistles and we see that he was a much mature man there than what he was at the Gospels had written about them being the sons of thunder. But in my mind, I just see them very much like Moses. When Moses was yet 40 year old, and we would consider that an elder man nowadays. But back then, Moses was 40 when he killed that Egyptian, wasn't he? And then he spent another 40 years out there in the mountains, with Jethro being his father-in-law, and so for another 40 years he stayed out there, and he was being matured, and he was being taught things, and he was being humbled. And then at 80 years old, that's when he went back into Egypt, and the Lord asked him to lead his children out. So as an 80-year-old man, and then he died, I believe, at the age of 120. So if you were to break that down into 40 and 40 years, some of us may be given that opportunity. Live that 120 years old. So all of those thoughts just kind of running in my mind this morning. But if you're not quite 40 yet, then just know there's maybe a long way to go if the Lord will allow. And there's a lot of maturing we all can do. And a lot more studying, a lot more humbleness to be taught. And hopefully from there we might get the opportunity to teach others. Maybe not so much as a leader of Moses, but we might get that opportunity to kind of tell where we've been and help some others out. So, any thoughts on any of that? We were going through the, like I said, going through the apostles and wanted to kind of learn a little bit more about them. A few different places there where we can look in the book of Matthew 10 and 2, Mark 3 and 14, Acts 1 and 13, Luke 6 and 14. That's the list of the apostles, and we talked about what the qualifications and things like that might be, and we'll try to keep that in mind as we study the rest of them. But we got through Peter and Andrew being brothers, James and John being brothers. Well, now we get down to the next man in line according to Matthew. The next one listed was Philip. So we might learn and try to learn a little bit about Philip this morning. So Philip, being one of the 12 apostles from Bethsaida, and the thing to keep in mind about that is that when you first think of Philip, you're thinking, which Philip? You're thinking there's Philip the apostle, and then there's another Philip mentioned that we all talk about, and that being maybe the one that went and met the eunuch, wasn't it? He was preaching that day. He was also, that one was also referred to as one of the seven, one of the first deacons. So you got Philip the apostle, and I believe you've got Philip the evangelist slash deacon, best way I can put that. So we don't want to get those confused. So just keep in mind, I believe personally that they are two different people. So in the books of Matthew and Mark and Acts and Luke, we could look those up and just look for this name, Bartholomew, and then from there, that's about all you're going to find of his name, isn't it? And you think, man, for an apostle, surely there's something else written about him. Do y'all know of any? I mean, it's his name. They've got his name listed four times, but then you can't find anything else about that man. But we might have... There's some that believe that he had another name. In the book of John, there's a man by the name of Nathanael mentioned. We had talked, when we learned about Peter, Peter's name was what? Peter Bar-Jonah. Bar was son of Jonah. And what's Bartholomew's name? Bartholomew. Bar, son of. So just keeping that in mind, if you heard Peter's name as Simon Bar-Jonah, then you would, if all they ever mentioned was Bar-Jonah, did they ever, you know, but that's kind of what they're saying here with Bartholomew. They're saying that he's a son of somebody. So that's not actually maybe directly his name in Bartholomew. So we might get into that a little bit, but just wanted to get that out there as well. But we know Philip was from Bethsaida, the same city as Andrew and Peter. And we could go over there and find that in, let's go to Luke. No, I'm sorry. Let's go ahead and go to John. John 1 and 43. So this was right after Simon. In 1 and 42, it said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by the interpretation of stone. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So talking about Philip here, Philip being from Bethsaida, and we recognize that was the same city as Peter and Andrew there. And Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said unto him, "Come and see." So we've mixed in a couple of things there. We're talking about Philip, and possibly in my eyes, we're talking about possibly Bartholomew there, and I think that was where I was going with that Nathanael mark. But we've definitely found Philip, and we found a man by the name of Nathanael. Well, if you go back and read the other four spots of the where it gives the list of the apostles, you won't see the name Nathanael, will you? That's not listed there, but we may dig up a little bit more on Nathanael as we go. But just wanted to show how we picked up Philip and Nathanael there pretty quick in the book of John. Any thoughts on any of that so far? So, in the feeding of the 5,000 in Luke 9 and 10, you'll find that area there is real close to Bethsaida. And that was, if you want to turn over there in Luke 9 and 10, I want to just try to get the region of where this came from and where they picked this up at. "And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And then just shortly after that, that's where you start reading of the 5,000, isn't it, being fed. So they're close by Bethsaida there, and that's where they had found Philip. And as we talked about, Philip being the apostle, not the evangelist slash deacon there. The site for Bethsaida has still not accurately been found, according to history today. There's two places that they're saying it could have been, but they're not 100% sure of that. So I tried to find that maybe on a map, and it's a whole lot of hearsay as to where that would have exactly been, but they say it was to the northeast side there, to where that would have been found. But we find that Jesus tested Philip in John 6, 5 through 7. So if we go back to the book of John, and we're learning on Philip here, or trying to learn who he was, and then we'll get down to Bartholomew here in just a bit, because they kind of tied in together with our first thought. But John 6, 5 through 7. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here, which we have five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? So that was just again bringing up Philip, and Philip seems to be very practical. It was almost like maybe we would, I don't know how to say this without it, you know, trying to put too many words in somebody's mouth, but it says there that, Jesus said these things to prove him. He said, and he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. So it was almost like he just kind of picked at Philip here just a little bit, didn't he? When he said, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, was that a, why would he ask Philip that? I guess is where I'm going. Is Philip kind of in charge of preparing the food for everybody there? Was it because that was his job as part of the group? Or was he supposed to know these things and as to where to go and buy this? And just found that to be odd. And it said, and this he said to prove him, for he knew what he would say. So it was almost like he was picking at him a little bit. Hey, Philip, where could we get enough bread for this? You know, where should we go to get it? And his instant reply was, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So he correlates it with the cost. Jesus asked, where do we go and get it? And he correlates it with the cost. So just, any of y'all got any thoughts on any of that?
It'd been sort of like those disciples after the ship. Why did you come to me?
Yeah, well, that's true, ain't it? But, so he's looking at Philip being very practical. He knows him well enough. He knows what his answer is going to be. And John writing this didn't really get into the detail as to why he would have expected that, why he would have asked him that. But he kind of let the questions be there and then goes on to show that that Andrew had brought forth this young man and supplied the food there. So the 200 penny worth, found this interesting. A bread is not sufficient. So 200 denarii was 200 days' wages, because the denarius was the penny, and that was an average day's wage of a working man. So that would have been 200 days of working to supply that much bread for one man. So, but Jesus supplied that, didn't he? He was able to make that happen. And then the next place we maybe read a little bit about Philip in John's writings, John 14. Turn over there, 8. We'll probably read through 21 or so. But Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. So Philip asked to show us the Father. And Jesus went quite lengthy to explain to him that if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. So we'll go ahead and read that. In 9, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He hath seen me, hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou, then show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. So, pretty good explanation from the Lord there to Philip, but I believe that to be Philip the apostle that he's talking about there. Any thoughts on that? We recognize the Comforter got blended in there as well in Jesus' answer, didn't he? He was telling Philip about the Trinity there. But again, to the point of he is not the same Philip that we read about. And we'll go to Acts 21 and 8 just to point that out. Going to the book of Acts, it'll specifically say that, well, you could go to, we'll go ahead and go over there. Acts 21. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. So Philip's name there being one of the seven, that was the seven that they had called out to serve the tables, and it referred to him as being the evangelist there. Any thoughts, sir?
What's one of the seven?
The seven deacons that they'd referred to in Acts chapter 6. And if you want to, we'll go back there and read that. I believe that's where they give the names there in verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Where were we at there? Yeah, we read Philip there, didn't we? He was in there. He was right after Stephen mentioned. So I believe that's what they was referring to there in John 21. Good question. Any other thoughts?
I guess that's the one thing that always is hard for me to really grasp a hold of. You know, he said in the church first apostles, and then the teachers, and then evangelists or missionaries. And each one of them have got their work to do. Preachers have got a work to do, whether you're an evangelist type of preacher or whether you're missionary. And maybe it's just a play of that word evangelist.
Amen. Know.
Maybe every one of us in a sense of speaking are evangelists, but God set the members and give everyone different talents. I mean, you know, TJ and Rick, they've got a work to do.
Amen.
Well, the deacon, what we call the deacon that was set aside in the book of Acts, was set aside to help the pastor, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That the apostles, they, you know, they couldn't, you know, they had so much work in their preaching that they had to have some help and, you know, taking care of the tables and the widows and seeing to the things of that nature. So I guess I've always had a little bit of a feeling that if a church gives if Hilltop calls out a deacon, then he's got a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I'm getting at is I wonder if we use the right terminology, was Philip not a deacon to begin with, chosen of the church, and I believe he was, and then called into the ministry to become an evangelist. I don't know that, but
I'm with you.
Today, a church that's got a deacon, and if he's called to preach, my feelings is he needs to give up his deaconship because he's got a job.
Amen.
I mean, that's just my thinking on it. So I just wondering this, if you know, the church has chosen him out full of the Holy Ghost to become a deacon and serve tables and help out the church, and then later he was called to be an evangelist to preach. But that's just something I don't.
Amen. Good question. Yeah, I guess in my mind, I was leaning like what you'd mentioned. I believe the Lord dealt with his spirit there in chapter 8 of Acts and just said, hey, you need to go meet this individual. You know, you need to go meet this Ethiopian eunuch. And I don't know that he was necessarily going and as we would refer to as an evangelist today, you know, but was he asked by the Lord one time to go and say something and do a special work for that one person, as opposed to, yeah, good question.
And Stephen, everyone knows the story of Stephen. And Stephen, in one chapter, was called out to be a deacon, and then you just follow right up with that, and then that's where Stephen was stoned. And,
mm-hmm.
and we use the term that he preached one of the best messages, and that gets right into. I don't believe Stephen, my own conviction, I don't believe Stephen was ever called to preach.
Man.
But he, if you say testified,
amen.
One of the best sermons
that's, right.
that's in the Bible. And to me, that and that there was results that come from that. We always go back to the woman at the well, and people got saved because, you know, of her testimony. Well, I think Stephen was the deacon, and I think Saul ended up getting saved as a result of some of the things that he had heard there, you know.
Amen. I do too.
You don't have to. I'll always believe you don't have to be a God called preacher to testify the gospel to people.
Amen.
And get saved as a result of it.
Amen. Well said. Any other thoughts? Let's go ahead and read that in Acts chapter 8. Let's pick up on 24. 8 and 24. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So there's preaching there happening. And in the 26th, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had to come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet, meaning Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So, yeah, it uses the word preach there. We'd read earlier, it referred to him as evangelist. And, yeah, I'm not 100% certain how to handle all of this, you know. But we see that he's given titles by the book of John and by Acts, referred to him as he did preach, as he did go and follow the Spirit, that he was referred to as an evangelist. But I'm still with you. Stephen gave an account second to none there. And we need to all be able to give that account when that time comes. And we need to be able to give the history and why it is that we believe that. And so, more questions than we got answers for. Anybody else this morning?
Yeah, I was wondering, verse 39, I've read that plenty of times. When it says the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. What would that be? Because, I mean, he says that when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and that the eunuch saw him no more. I guess he just walked away, but I've always wondered why it said caught. Did the Spirit caught him?
Yeah, good point.
If you go down the next verse, it said he was rejoicing and he went preaching everywhere.
Yeah.
He was excited.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord called him up. He was excited and he went on preaching everywhere. Every city, I think, is
it. Yeah, in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Yeah.
He called up the Spirit just.
Yeah, and.
Excited and kept going.
Amen. Amen. A good point. Anything else? I'm glad to know we don't have to have all the answers. we can just read it and say, y'all do with it as you see fit. This is all I know to tell you right now.
That means a lot to me there. I'm glad we talked.
Man.
I went to New Design and preached out there. That was the first time I've ever been anxious to get up behind the board.
Amen.
And that was an awesome feeling. I couldn't wait for them to hush. I wanted to get up there.
Amen.
They just kept, Brian Flynn, he shouted, and Miss Carolyn, she talked for an hour, like she used to do, but I was listening to her. I love listening to her. She makes me just feel great. And I couldn't wait to stand up. Good service. I'm glad
I Amen. Sounds like you're doing it out of thankfulness more than obligation, brother. That had to be a blessing. Amen. Glad to hear that. Anything else? You know, we tried to dig up how maybe some of these that may have died, and there's less information on Philip and Bartholomew and some of them on down the line than can't even find even really good solid writings. They just refer to it more as legend. So I hate to get into that. Last week we talked about John, and there were some earlier writings that you could go to in the first couple of centuries at least and say, hey, this writer said this. Now, whether that's true or not, you know, we just take it as a grain of salt with world history. And I think in Sunday school, we're okay to bring up some of those things and just say, hey, it's not biblical, but world history would say this. But whenever they go to just referring to as legend says, you know, that leaves you even less of a leg to stand on. But what I could find, no writings or evidence how he died. One says of natural causes, one says of beheading, and one says stoned to death or crucified. So don't really know what may or may not have come of Philip there. And the Bible's silent on the fact. But then the next name we come into that I intermixed our first thoughts with was Bartholomew. And that one, we read the name early there in John when we were dealing with Philip, and then we get to, couldn't help for to going ahead and jumping into that, I guess, but talking about the bar. And referring to that meaning the son of, and how his name only appears in the list only and not written any other way. And then you get to this name that John refers to of Nathanael. Now, this is kind of piecing stuff together, but when you read of Philip, you read of Bartholomew. When you get three of the four lists, they're back to back. as if they, and it said that, what was that in the book of Mark, that they sent them out two by two, and you kind of see maybe that they were paired up. And again, a little bit of a stretch there, but in the book of John, it refers to a man by the name of Nathanael. And then this Nathanael was there after the resurrection. I believe this you could see in how that that he was. I believe that he was a follower of John the Baptist. I believe that he was there for the resurrection. And part of those qualifications that we talked about of being his apostle, you would have to be there. But we don't see a man by the name of Nathanael in any of the list of the apostleship. So either he's not an apostle and only a disciple that met the same qualifications as the apostle, or he had a separate name. And going back to that thought of Bartholomew, meaning son of, is it possible that this Nathanael that John is referring to is possibly Bartholomew? So again, not 100%, can't show that scripturally. But just that's the reason why some people believe that may be of the same person there. In John 1 and 45, where we came from a minute ago, that was the name that we had found. That's where we find Nathanael, so we'll just read that one more time. John 1 and 45. So said Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And this is Nathanael's famous words. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. So there's Philip doing his job. We see that Philip was always seemed like dragging people or just saying, hey, come see. You know, I believe he was he'd always talk to Andrew, I think it was. We pointed that out last week, that he would say, hey, Andrew, what about this kid? You got this 5,000 or got this bread over there. Hey, Andrew, there's some people coming wanting to, you know, he's kind of that voice in the background. And you see Philip here saying, hey, here's Nathanael. Nathanael, won't you come see? You know, inviting him to see the Lord. But then going to John 21 and 2. Sorry for all the flipping, but.
I think I never considered what you're talking about here as far as Nathanael myself, but you made a really good point that Nathanael, which I think it bears out Nathanael actually had already been saved right here, if you read on down through verse 50, but they was looking for the Savior.
Amen.
The one that they believed in, and he said, I found him.
Amen.
But what I think the good point that you made on this was you definitely have Nathanael coming with what is going to be the apostles.
Amen.
Here before the resurrection, if you are, you know, and then you have Nathanael after the resurrection.
Amen.
As well. And then you have that name Bartholomew, how you pronounce it, and he's not mentioned
at all
more. But yet, then you have this Nathanael. Well, why is it? So it really points toward that he could be the son of.
Amen.
I like when you put that together. I never thought of that. But he was definitely before and after. And to be an apostle, he had to be there through his ministry and resurrection.
Amen.
I think it kind of points that direction.
Kind of fits the bill there. Yeah, John 21 and 21 and 2, just like what Brother Barry was saying there, that we're going to read some names here that, and they're apostles, and he's a part of them. So there were together Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael. So Nathanael's the one, is this Bartholomew? Don't know. And the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Now, we don't know who the two others are, but we know the other names that are mentioned, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they were apostles. Peter's an apostle. Thomas is an apostle. So is that Nathanael? Is he? And he was there with Thomas, because Thomas is, As we're saying there, the doubting Thomas comment. So there after the resurrection, he's there with four other apostles, and he would have had to been there to have witnessed the resurrection. That was part of being an apostle. So he fits the bill. He fits the mold. But it does say that two other disciples. Now, those other two disciples, were they merely followers, or were they also, because there's several places you'll read about the apostles and they're just referred to as disciples. But we recognize there were more followers there that were not apostles, but with the Lord, I believe 120 or so in that upper room. And we know all of them wouldn't have been apostles. So just some food for thought there. I think we've covered all of that. Bartholomew, we talked about that earlier, means son of Ptolemy. So could it not have been, hey, here's the son of Ptolemy, when they said Bartholomew. Every time he was mentioned in those four lists, they're basically saying son of Ptolemy, son of Ptolemy, son of Ptolemy. It would really be easy just to say Nathaniel. And we know by some of our recent studies that just about all of them had more names than the book of Mark. That's John Mark, right? They refer to him as John in certain places, but the gospel of Mark is just referred to as Mark. And we know, we talked about Peter having four, possibly five names, ever how you want to look at that. Then you got, like Brother Jeff had taught us a couple of weeks back with Jude. So that we know there's multiple names there in the Bible, and sometimes they're just not 100% connected there. But and Nathanael means giver of God, and we'd read there earlier that when Nathanael had said, "Does anything good come out of Nazareth?" and it said that Jesus said he was guileless. That he means innocent or without deception. So one good thing about him being outspoken, there wasn't no deception about him. He just, hey, that's what I was wondering. I didn't think there's anything good come out of Nazareth. He wasn't hiding anything back, wasn't talking about him. But he later said he was, this is a man without deception. So according to legend, again, with the way that he may have passed, said that he was skinned alive and beheaded. And this was followed up with several artistic pictures and paintings, and even glass-stained windows. That when you see Bartholomew in these paintings and whatnot, you'll see that he's actually got like a draped skin, maybe over his head or over his arms, were representing that he had been skinned. And there's knives and things like that that's in the murals that would show that. So again, it's legend, and legend creates its own thing. We can't find that biblically, but according to some writings, that's what they say that happened. And in the Acts of Philip, as is referred to, say that Bartholomew was in Armenia, Ethiopia, Lyconia, Mesopotamia, and Parthia. So he went out and done his part. So there he covered a lot of ground. Whether he is actually Bartholomew, son of Ptolemy, or if he's Nathanael. But that's what we've studied out with this one. And maybe next week, if the Lord allows, we'll continue through the rest of these. And sparse information maybe on some of these apostles, but just recognizing that they were doing the Lord's work and wasn't always pointed to, wasn't always talked about a lot. And like what Brother Jeff said a couple of weeks back, maybe we need more of those people too. Just does more work and less talking. So. Any other thoughts? Well, if not, we'll just consider ourselves dismissed this morning.